Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am joined by Michelle Schneider. She is the managing director of the Market Gauge Group. Now, Michelle, I've had you on the show before. It's been a little over a month since we last chatted. So a couple themes that I really want to focus on here. The first theme being volatility. It really doesn't matter what market you're looking at. We continue to see some pretty high volatility. And sometimes when you see that kind of volatility, it does instill fear in traders' minds. But when you look at U.S. equity markets, it seems continuing to be true is that any weakness is treated as a buy the dip opportunity. And some of the volatility recently, while we have seen some decent sized drops on a daily basis, pretty immediately those are being bought back up. Today's another great example of a tough week last week for the U.S. equity markets and now a very strong start to this week. What's your takeaway from this increased volatility we've seen in U.S. equity markets?
Well, a couple of things. Number one is last week the buzz really was about the yields, and the yields were going up and got to levels that we hadn't seen in a while. And so it did seem to investors that the Federal Reserve might be losing control a little bit of their accommodative stance that they've been saying, like, for example, Jerome Powell, who was up last week talking about the low rates forever, the bond buying program, et cetera, et cetera. But part of the reason why the yields went up was because a lot of foreign investors holding bonds sold. So that really spooked the market. The other thing, of course, is that we've been hearing now for a little over a month since we had a new administration that we were going to get this stimulus package done, the $1.9 trillion. And this weekend, which is part of the reason why we're seeing the market back up, it passed through the House, still has to pass through the Senate. And one of the big edicts that was under contention was about the minimum wage. I believe they've eliminated that. So the volatility came in because there were a lot of nervous longs sitting up near the highs and starting to say, gee, if we can't get more money either out of the government or out of the Federal Reserve, and at this point it would have to be quantitative easing, then this market is extremely vulnerable because the economy is still relatively vulnerable. We've had some improvements in certain areas, industrial capacity, et cetera. But we also still have a relatively weak labor market. And so that's where we sit. We're a market that really needs to see some type of more money intervention, whether it be the stimulus, the Fed buying back their bonds again, quantitative easing. And if none of that really happens with any great degree, you can see now that the floorboards are relatively weak under the foundation.
Michelle, why don't you think, as we have seen some of that weakness creep into traders' minds, at least in the last couple of weeks, why don't you think that corresponded to any of these safer assets getting more of a buy? Treasuries were still under pressure. Gold was really under pressure. It sounds like, or it seems like, a lot of the traders right now are simply putting on hedges and not clearing out a lot of their longs still.
Well, a hedging bonds would have been very dangerous and probably is still dangerous. The shift from the safety play to bonds has been going on for quite a few months now because of the fact that people are worried about the implosion of a bond bubble given how much money has been added into the system. As far as gold, that also did not necessarily like those rising yields. And even though there's been talk of inflation, and of course we've seen certain inflationary things happen, like for example the industrial metals, a lot of the food commodities, we really haven't seen the inflation that the Federal Reserve considers to be inflation, and that's really through the oil market and through consumer spending beyond the necessities. And so the gold has really reacted to the dollar's firmed a little bit, the yields have firmed, and the inflationary pressures, even though it's been talked about more than ever, and of course seems likely if we start to see the economy really opening up again, at this point now, it's kind of gotten out of favor. Whether it stays that way remains to be seen. But we've seen a lot of the money on the hedging going on in alternative currencies. And that's a real change. That's a complete change in the entire structure of the stock market.
So regarding that whole inflation narrative, haven't we been talking about inflation for over a decade now? And with all the money that's been printed, it seems like that inflation that I guess the Fed is looking for in their data continues to land in financial markets. So what is going to change that? Because again, we've been talking about it for a decade now.
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, when the last time we saw inflation was in the 70s, in the late mid to late 70s. So what happened then? Number one is we had an oil embargo, which drove the oil prices crazy. If you remember long gas lines back in the 70s, we haven't seen anything like that because there's an abundance of oil, or so they say. So anything that would disrupt the oil market, you know, we are hearing rumblings from the Middle East now, Iran refusing to negotiate with the U.S. again about the nuclear arms deal, some airstrikes last week in Syria. So far, the oil is still not really reacting to that, but that would be something to keep an eye on. What would change the oil market? What else happened in the 70s was there was a lot of domestic unrest. We had the Vietnam War protests, and then you had the impeachment hearings, or, well, he resigned before it happened, but with Nixon, so you had political unrest. That sparked it, and then finally it just went crazy when the dollar started to collapse, the interest rates were extremely low, and prices got out of control, even in the food commodities, because there was also some weather issues back then. So now let's put it in now, what's going on right now. Do we have the potential? We just talked about oil. That's always a potential. What we discovered during the big weather crisis we had here in the United States was that we're still a very oil-dependent society if things go wrong, like a freeze. So that's one thing. We have to keep an eye on the oil. The other thing, of course, is domestic unrest. Well, things have been relatively calm now, although I've heard from certain people that deal with the military that they're always on the ready for something happening there with some sort of domestic terrorism. And then in terms of the actual political stuff, we've kind of gotten through that, in terms of, you know, we've got passed through, we have a new administration, and therefore right now it seems to be peaceful. So what could keep inflation going hot right now? It would be really basically supply chain disruption, which we've already seen, and demand rising while supply continues to diminish. And that is real. And that's what I think a lot of the traders started to look at yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. In the last few weeks, because it's real. I mean, and now you get any kind of environmental problems with the food supply in particular, or any kind of geopolitical problems in terms of the oil with a rising demand, and that the supply gets cut, everything will change. Gold will go up. Silver will go up. The bonds, there will be a run into safety again. For right now, though, it's sort of a complacency with a what-if kind of situation, and Bitcoin has become like the new hero of the market.
Now, before we get into Bitcoin, one more comment on gold, because I know you talk about that a lot. It was a pretty significant breakdown to end last week. Gold was bouncing a little bit pre-market today, but has, well, corrected, kind of back to where it was starting this trading session. Michelle, what do you think it's going to take, or what are actually some of your targets for gold in terms of stopping this downtrend that's now over 7 months long?
Well, I think if gold breaks $1,700 an ounce, you know, we're probably going to see $1,650 pretty quickly. If we get down anywhere between $1,500 and $1,600 an ounce, I think it would be really super compelling to be a buyer there. So I would not be touching it right now. Right now, it is in no man's land. And you say it can't even sustain really a rally. It's basically flat as we're talking. And it had a big down move on Friday, and we're right inside that range. So if it breaks down under Friday's low, yeah, I think we could probably fall another $50 to $100 in gold. Would I short it? No, I'd rather be stalking for a buy opportunity. Where would I change my mind at this point? I would think that we really need to see maybe at least the gold to get back over $1,750 and probably ideally $1,800. And then we can say, okay, it looks like maybe the bleed has stopped. But yeah, gold has just gone completely out of favor. But I wouldn't discount it. It's a real commodity. It's a real thing. There's only a limited supply of it. This is a bizarre situation. I've never, in all the years I've traded, seen a situation like this where the market's on new highs, there's talk of inflation, and yet gold has been really basically dead. I've never seen that before.
been forgotten. Everybody is distracted somewhere else. And hey, understandably so. A lot of other markets are doing better, and gold is in that 7-month correction. Let's wrap it up with a quick comment on Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's having a good day today, but in all fairness, Bitcoin is quite a ways off of its recent highs, around $60,000. Some of the strength today is driven by comments out of Citibank that made the comment that they think Bitcoin could become the currency of choice for international trade. They also said that Bitcoin is at a tipping point here. I really get a bit worried when I start to hear people say, well, this is going to take over as the world's reserve currency. But there's no denying Bitcoin, kind of under the radar too, is building this use scenario. As more and more companies have purchased Bitcoin, more and more people are talking about Bitcoin. I realize it's trendy right now because of the run it's been on, but where do you stand on the whole Bitcoin discussion when it comes to just how accepted it will be in the long run?
I think it's going to be, and I think the reason why is because look at the volatility of the two influences of the market we just talked about, interest rates and currency, the dollar versus the euro, and then all these countries talking about digital currency, which really doesn't change anything because it keeps regulation. And this is where the Bitcoin fans come in right now, is that they're saying, gee, this is not going to be regulated. It's not going to matter what foreign currency is. We'll be able to price goods around the world based on a value. Now, of course, what that value is, we don't know, but based on a value that's not central bank oriented. And so that's why a lot of people are very, very happy about the fact that Citibank came out with that prediction today. And then you have people like, there's a Dubai group. They're called the IBC group. They pledged 100,000 Bitcoin. They want to take Miami, Florida, and basically make it the hub of blockchain technology. And their goal is to integrate Bitcoin so that people can use it as an everyday transaction. And that might be a good model for us to look at going forward. But clearly, you're right. The volatility in Bitcoin alone is enough to make it a pretty scary prospect. But that could change over time. So, yeah, at this point, we're long through blockchain companies. We haven't actually bought Bitcoin itself. Mainly because it is a 24-hour market, but instead we've been buying MicroStrategy, we've been in Riot, we're out of it now, and most recently position is Canaan, which is a Chinese Bitcoin mining company, CAN, and that's doing very well today, up about 40%.
All right, well, we are going to wrap it up here, Michelle. Good chatting with you again. Michelle's the Managing Director of the Market Gauge Group. I'm sure I'll be chatting with you in about another month, Michelle. So have a great rest of your week, and we appreciate your comments.
Thank you so much, Corey.